We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspire podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire. I am your host, Gene Alert, and today we have a special guest, my producer, comedian. Like, he's an extraordinary dude, man. Great father, husband. His name is Jamie Roberts.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
You know what? Today's gonna be good because the energy, like, it's November. My birthday's on Saturday.
Oh,
you
know,
so I'm a Scorpio. November 10th. Shout out to all my Scorpios out there. And I wanted to bring you on to talk about, because you gave me the opportunity, right? And so, you know, my parents gave me the opportunity of life, you know?
Oh! And, I birthed you,
you birthed me into this podcast game. So it's like only right.
Right.
I want to talk about, this podcast is all about entrepreneurship, the mindset, how we think. And you're a comedian, right? You produce your own shows for the last, what?
7-8 years now.
Well,
7 years in the New York, around New York City, but I've had my own show, Sunday Night Live, for 10 years. Yeah, every week.
Wow. So we're Sundays. Gonna talk about all of that. Yeah, man. Right? So let's start from the beginning, right? Where's Jamie? Who's Jamie?
Jamie Roberts is a skinny kid from Amityville, New York, family.
Amityville. So you from Long Island?
Yeah, Long Island.
Suffolk County, boy.
Suffolk County, man.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Suffolk County, man. I grew up in the rough city of Amityville.
with the suburbs.
The suburbs of Amityville. It was horrible when I grew up, though, man. It was really, we had a spot called The Block where they sold crack 24/7. It was featured on 2020, Dateline. Everything, man. It was bad business, man.
Really?
But I was able to, you know, navigate through those streets. I grew up in a single family house. My mom, single parent house as well. Mm-hmm. It was just my mom, my brothers, my two older brothers, and my cousin used to visit from time to time. So it was great. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I learned a lot growing up in Amityville.
Yeah.
It's given me my foundation as far as comedy is concerned. Mm-hmm. I was the class clown, of course. Went on to graduate from Hampton University, the real HU.
The real HU.
Go get it twisted. you know, I've been doing, I graduated with an accounting degree.
Okay.
Hated that. no one wants a funny accountant.
No.
And then I started doing comedy, man. I love it. You know?
How did you get into that? Was it in,
you
know, like, just stumble onto the
stage. Everyone thinks they're funny, right? Everyone thinks they're funny. And then I actually got an opportunity. I went to a comedy show with my brother at one time, and it was a guy on stage who was dying. It wasn't funny at all. I was like, I could do that. And my brother was like, I dare you to try. So I was like, all right, cool. We went home. I wrote a routine, entered a contest at Stand Up New York. Mm-hmm. Actually ended up winning the contest at Stand Up New York. Mm-hmm. And I just started going over since then, man. You know, that was 2001.
Wow.
2001. I was a youngin' in the game, man. And I was learning. I hated comedy at one time because there's this thing called bringer comic.
Bringer comic.
You're a bringer comic, meaning you got to bring people to perform.
Got it.
You get what I mean?
Oh,
if you don't have your people, you're not performing.
You know
what I mean? So, you can do my show. You just need to bring 10 people, 10 paying people.
Mm-hmm.
So those 10 paying people are paying $15 per head. So the person's asking you to bring is just pocketing that money. So they're getting $150 every time you show up.
Yeah.
You're not getting paid, though. Because you're still new in the game. No one's going to pay you. You're probably not that funny, but you shouldn't have to pay to be an intern.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I remember when we, you know, the time when everybody was having their own record labels.
Uh-huh.
So they used to have these showcases in the
city. That's right. You had to pay to perform.
And you had to pay to perform. So we had to pay. We had to buy, like, tickets.
Uh-huh.
We had people buy tickets,
sell
tickets.
Yeah, you could sell tickets as well.
Yeah, exactly. Or you had to buy it and give it to people.
Right, man.
But, yeah, I remember
it's the
that,
same
man.
Hustle.
It's the same hustle. Yo, you just put me back, man. ABM days.
It's the same hustle, man. And then I stopped doing that because let me tell you how crazy the game was, man. Uh-huh. It still is because there's still people still doing this same formula, this same format. I was at Stand Up New York. I forgot the producer's name. It doesn't matter because he's not funny.
Yeah.
And he was like, real talk, he was like, we had like 8 people on the show. Mm-hmm. And I just went up to him and I was asking him, I said, hey, do you know when, you know, when I'm going to perform? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, short dude, looked at me in my face, was like, you only got 4 people here. Talk to me when the other 5 or 6 people get here.
What?
And walked away, just like sunned me right there on the spot. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And he was like, yeah, wait, talk to me when your other people get here, then I'll let you know when you're performing. So it was my brother, my girl at the time, and his girlfriend, and I think it was 2 other people. Like, yo, we leaving. He's like, what are you talking about? I just got up. I was like, yo, we gone, leave. He was like, we paid the cover. I was like, I don't care. I'll give you money back. I'm not dealing with this. Uh-huh. So I was burnt out from doing bringer shows because I was every time you got to bring your friends to see you do the same 8 to 10 minutes, that's probably not that funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And every now and then they may see someone who was funny or famous on the show with you, but it's a horrible hustle to do because you're burning out your friendship, you're burning out your family, and you're asking them to pay, you're asking them to drink. It's not a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for this guy to be like, yo, don't talk to me until your other 5 people get here. I'm like, yo, F you, man. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And so I stopped doing comedy for some time because I was like, that was the only way I can get on stage. Mm-hmm. If I was bringing people, I'm not doing that no more.
Yeah.
So I started doing the urban the urban rooms.
Got it.
Quote unquote, the Chitlin Circuit.
The Chitlin Circuit, yep.
So I remember how bad I was bombing, right? My man Talent, shout out to Talent, that's my big brother in comedy. I went down and I did Boston Comedy Club. This is when Boston Comedy Club was Boston Comedy Club down in the Village.
In the Village, yeah.
So he said, yeah, you want to do some time? I said, yeah, man. So I remember I had a routine, man. I used to dress up like a homeless person and staying outside the club. Like when they're lining up, I would be laying there on the street like a homeless person with a sign and everything. And then I got on stage and I bombed horribly. I mean, horribly. Crickets. Dame Dash was in the audience. This is when it was, it was horrible, man. And so Talent went up there, destroyed me for like 5 minutes about how bad my routine was. And then he got off stage. He shook my hand. He said, come back next week. He said, I think you're funny. Come back next week. I'm going to show you how to do it. And right there was like, okay. You know, because, you know, when you bomb, I don't know if you've ever been embarrassed in front of a room full of people,
yeah.
A room full of black people,
uh-huh.
And black people will let you know how bad you are.
Facts.
Immediately.
Facts.
Not even a minute into my set.
And there was no social media.
Yeah. No social media. Jesus Christ, it would have been all, my career could have been done. You know what I mean?
A lot of people's career would have been done.
Yeah, man.
All right, so continue.
Okay. So, you know, I came back the next week. I didn't go on. He just told me to watch the show.
Okay.
And to your younger comedians or anyone else who wants to be in a profession, I would always tell you, research that profession or research where you're going to be working because that's very important. You know how sometimes you go on an interview, they're interviewing you for the job, right? Mm-hmm. You need to interview them as well.
Absolutely.
And say, hey, what is the atmosphere that I'm working in? Right? How is the climate around this company? What is the environment? What is, you know, how's the staff? Is everyone friendly? It is important because I didn't do that going into the comedy show. You know what I mean? I walked into a hostile environment with my happy-go-lucky ass jokes. It was like, nah, fam, that's not going to rock.
That's it.
You take that back uptown. That's not going to rock here. Go to Midtown. Go to Lily White, Long Island, and live out there. It's not going to work in here.
Take that back to Amityville.
Nah, not in Amityville. It didn't even work in Amityville.
Maybe in Deer Park.
Yeah, Deer Park.
Well, let's not talk more about Deer Park.
Farmingdale. But, yeah, so I went back and I observed. I became a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed how, you know, comedians get in and out of their jokes. Not too long of a setup. You know, you can't talk as much.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bong, 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 especially in the urban rooms. You got to come at them.
Yeah.
Until you gain their confidence, then you can get up there and be a little bit more relaxed. But being so young in the game, mm-hmm. I didn't have any of that knowledge.
Got it.
So Talent was showing me, like, yo, you know, this is how you do it. You know what I mean? And from that grew a respect for him and also some type of mentorship because I used to host the New Jack section at the Improv when it was called the Improv. The New Jack section is basically when newer comedians get a chance to perform before the pros get on. Mm-hmm. So before the pros show starts, there's about three or four comedians that perform before the pros hit. Okay. And I used to host that. So, you know, I learned a lot by hosting that because every time I got on stage, he was like, listen, don't do this, don't do that. That was funny, keep this. You know, so it was kind of like an ongoing program between that. And that worked out well, man. Him, Kenny Williams, there's a lot of people, Drew Frazier, yeah, who've helped me with it. Rob Stapleton, shout out to all those dudes, man.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
Yeah, so, you know, I've learned how to mold this comedy thing into a business, and that's very important.
Now, let's talk about that, right? Uh-huh. Now, that mindset, right? Because to me, an artist is an artist, an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur. Everybody's entrepreneurs. As long as you're creating that dollar,
right?
Right.
You're
now, how did you feel? What was the mindset of the train ride or the commute back to wherever you were living from downtown that night?
Oh, it was horrible.
And then
it was horrible.
How did you? So you had to, you know, let that soak in for like a week, and then what was the mindset for you to come back? You know,
right?
Because a lot of times, even though somebody tells you, "Hey, come back next week," you're not coming back,
right?
A lot of people are like, "I'm not coming,"
right?
You know, because a lot of times, sometimes you're in a position where someone tells you no, or you know you did bad, or you don't even want to show up,
right? You're embarrassed.
You know? So, like, what made you show up again?
The hunger, the willingness not to fail. You know what I mean? To try again and the opportunity to try again. That train ride home was a long train ride. It was a long train ride. And shout out to my brother, Jerron. He was at the show with me. Mm-hmm. We just came from a Knicks game and we went there to do the show. And he came with me to the show.
So the Knicks bombed too?
Yeah, the Knicks bombed it. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to talk about it. That's disappointing every season.
Yeah.
But so he took the train ride with me back home. He was like, "Yo, man, that was horrible." But, you know, growing up, that's what we did. We got at each other. You know what I mean? So even though he was roasting me on the way home. You know what I mean? Like, "Yo, that was horrible, man. You're a comedian? Come on, man.
Wow.
Do you remember when he was said? And do you remember when he said?" You know, he was saying stuff like that. "Do you remember when he pulled you up and he said this?" Oh, man, it was horrible. But, you know, the eagerness to learn more and the fact that I knew who he was, mm-hmm, in the game, and he was like, "Come back. I believe you're funny." You know, that was reassuring. You know what I mean? Because some people were like, "Yo, don't ever pick up a microphone again. You're done." You know what I mean? You're horrible.
Yeah.
But Talon is that type of person. He's a nurturing dude as far as comedy is concerned. Mm-hmm. He wants to see people win. Definitely. And it's the same thing with me, man. I want to see people win. You know, if this is what you want to do, I'm going to try to help you.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't I? You know what I mean? You're not going to take my spot, you know, because if you were, it's destined to happen anyway. You know, I can't control that. That's not on me.
Yeah.
If you're going to outwork me, you're just going to outwork me, but you're not going to outwork me.
Exactly. I was about to be like, "Yo, you better say you're
not going to outwork me."
Okay,
we're
talking.
Right, you know?
Because I was like, okay. So now, so from the improv, mm-hmm, did you ever get back? So you went from hosting.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go into, like, step on the stage by yourself now again as far as your own routine? Like, how long did it take?
That process was an ongoing situation.
Okay, ongoing?
Yeah, it's ongoing. So I was doing shows around the city.
Okay.
Just building my, what they call a set. Okay. You know what I mean? Set list, you try to get is 8 to 10 minutes. So no matter where you go, you can perform at least 10 minutes in front of any crowd. Mm-hmm. Working at the Improv helped me because it's an international crowd. It's not an urban crowd. There was urban people in the room.
In the room.
Black people, for people who don't understand what they use the word urban as. But they were black people. They were white people. They were Spanish people. So you had to be universally funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that helped me grow my craft. You know, actually work on my craft in front of a crowd that they listened.
Yeah.
You know, but you still had to get in front of those crowds that didn't want to listen, but you had to spit your jokes and make sure that you got their attention. And I'm doing that now. You know, it was hard. It was a hard transition to go from working the stand-up New Yorks of the world, which is more of a mainstream club, to doing a Footprints in Brooklyn, which is more of an urban show. You know what I mean? And you have to learn the balance. And I think I've learned that balance, you know, through the years, of course. I've been doing this for some time now. So, you know, and just picking up on different ways to address different issues in different situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, you said something interesting, and I know you, so this is so basically what you said something like real quick. You said, mm-hmm, "I learned how to turn this thing into a business."
Right.
Right? A lot of comedians
don't get it.
Just they they go out, and no disrespect to them, but, you know, their whole thing is just going out, getting the $50, the $30 per night, per show, whatever. Yeah. And that's all they do.
Right.
What you did 10 years ago was figure out, you know what, let me partner up with a club and produce my own show.
Right.
So I don't ever have to go back into the, what do you call that?
The circuit.
The one before where you paint.
Oh, the Bringer Show.
The Bringer Show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you created not your own Bringer Show, but you created your own show.
It is. I got to bring people to every week.
Oh, yeah. You created your own Bringer Show, but the total package.
Right, right.
Which to me is different, you know? And that is the owner mentality.
Right.
You know?
And the reason why I did that, first and foremost, is because Sunday Night Live was launched summer 2008. And the reason why I did that is because there was no show that was universally funny for everyone in New York City.
Yeah.
So if you go to a comedy show on a Saturday night or a Sunday night, it's probably, you know, either all white, all black, a mixture, but not really a mixture. It'd be like four white comics, a black guy, a female, Spanish person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for me, I said, you know, how do I create something that everyone can feel included? You know what I mean? So if you look at my lineups, even from back then, it has been always diverse.
Yeah.
Because you want New York City is what they call, quote unquote, a melting pot.
Melting pot.
So you want everyone who comes to your show to feel included. You know what I mean? They may not get everyone's act, but there's going to be someone on the stage that they can identify with. And that's very important, especially when you're selling a product. Mm-hmm. Because you can't check every box. But you're going to check most of the boxes. You know what I mean? You can't satisfy everyone, but most of the people will be satisfied. And I host a show every week. You know, I host a show every week. And, you know, truth be told, I lost a couple of relationships because of it. You know, because of my commitment to this grind.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about that.
Really. Yeah, man. The grind is serious, man.
So one of the questions that I'm going to start asking guests, right, is, well, I'm going to ask you.
I think I'm a guest, right?
Yeah, you're a guest, right? So... I'm going to start asking people, the show's called Faith, Grind, Inspire, right? Mm-hmm. Which one of those three words really resonate with you?
Mm.
Right? Is it grind? Is it faith? Is it inspire? Like, you know, and tell me a story that, you know, really goes, you know.
Well, it's funny because when you first brought the idea of Faith, Grind, Inspire to me, I said those are three key things that keeps me going.
Yeah.
You got to have faith in whatever you're doing. You got to have the persistence and the know-how and the get up to go and grind and get it done. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when you look at yourself, who have you inspired by doing this, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it's more of a grind situation. I'm past that. I'm past the grinding.
Yeah,
I keep telling people, yo, grinding. I'm still working, but I'm not grinding. I'm drinking the coffee now. You know what I mean? I'm not grinding it anymore. I'm drinking it.
Yeah.
So now I'm inspiring folks.
Yes.
Because they see what I've done.
Yes.
And I set my own rules. I hate to say it like that. I'm not a cocky dude.
Yeah.
But I don't like playing by other people's rules, especially when it comes to my money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When it comes to my business.
Yeah.
If I can set my rules and I know what's going to get done and how it's going to get done, I only person I have to answer to when it fails.
It's me.
You know what I mean? Yep. I can't look at you like, yo, what happened? No. I put too much faith in you in order for my grind to work. And that's not going to happen anymore. Exactly. You know what I mean? Too many people hold the key to your success. You're not going to succeed, man.
You're not going to succeed.
You got to take those keys and put the key in and drive that car yourself. Yep. Put your foot on the pedal and keep moving. If you're not doing it yourself, who's going to do it for you?
Yo, we were talking about this the other day. Somebody started a business.
Mm-hmm.
And they were waiting for, they were building a business, they like a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, you know, they were expecting investors to come in and invest in the restaurant. But then what ended up happening is the restaurant never opened because they lost the lease.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the lease. They never opened up the business, but they cooked good food. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So they were waiting. Instead of them actually grinding it out, starting doing a little pop-up kitchen and then moving up.
Right.
They were actually waiting.
They're waiting for the full kit to come through.
Exactly.
No, that's not what's going to happen.
No,
like
that's
that.
Not what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, and so I appreciate the fact that you said that. And even with the show, you know, you could have been like, look, you need to show up. You know, and if you don't show up at this time and this day,
right.
And, you know, we've been running this for three, four, no, actually more than that.
Yeah. Right?
6 months.
Six months now? Mm-hmm.
6 months.
Wow.
You know, and I'm consistent.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And my level of grind has never gone down.
Right.
It's actually going up.
Right.
You know,
right, right.
You know, so shout out to the producers, Tim and OG Network. You know, we just got on Spotify.
Right, right.
You know,
good look.
Yeah, man, that's a good look. So the thing about it is, I think, so what's the answer?
What do you mean? It's inspired.
It's inspired.
It's
okay,
inspired,
so
yeah.
Inspired.
It's right. Inspired, man. And I get that because, you know, I have younger comedians, quote unquote, younger comedians asking me for tips, advice,
yeah.
You know, how do you get this? You know, I'm hosting the biggest award show in New York City for comedians. I hosted it.
Yeah, you
know
hosted
what I mean?
It last week.
And just the reaction when people heard that I was doing it was so positive. I know there was some people who was hating, but still, you know what I mean? It was so positive. It was like, yo, man, congratulations. I can't believe you're hosting that. You work so hard. You know what I mean? Yo, and I'm telling yo, I didn't get that through an agent, through a manager. Mm-hmm. I got that because of me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because of people. And I'm going to tell you, man, I think I told you this, man. When I got the call to host it, I did not tell anyone until I got the contract. And when I got the contract, I cried.
Yeah.
Because she told me who was going to be on the show. You know, like Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock. Man, I was like, this is the biggest night in comedy in New York City. Yeah. And who's hosting it?
You.
I'm hosting it.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even get a ticket, you know what I mean, years ago to a certain event like this. But now I'm hosting it.
Yeah.
And you know, just the thought process of where I've come from to this point, it was like, It's you know, it's mind blowing. That's why you never limit yourself. You never say this is the only thing I want. No, my dude who I started Sunday Night Life with, Esteban Romero, my man Tino, he asked me this question. It was very definitive in my career. It's like, who do you want to be known as in New York City? And I said, I want to be known as one of the best hosts in New York City when it comes to shows, any kind of show. Mm-hmm. He's like, what do you mean? I said, I want to be able to, when they're asking for hosts, who should we ask? Who should we recommend? Who should we hire? I want my name to be in the top three. Mm-hmm. If it's not in the top three, I'm missing out. I don't care if it's urban, mainstream, award show, pageants, everything. I've hosted everything. I've hosted Grandfather's Day in Newark. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm a Grandparents' Day in Newark. Real talk. That's a real day.
Really?
In a park. I had no idea. It was a military park in Newark, I believe. It's like 6-7 years ago. Anyway, uh-huh. They paid me for it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's the type of conversation I want my name to be involved in. You know, even here at Cumulus, I hosted the grand opening of Stage 17.
Yeah.
And I had everybody there. I mean, like, wow. All the Yankees. It was everyone. And who was center stage hosting it? Jamie Roberts. I hosted the Curtis and Kubi roast, who's WABC Radio.
Exactly.
Completely white audience. Well, who was hosting it? Jamie Roberts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's like you have to figure out what's your role. It's going to change every now and then. But if you have a target that you're trying to hit and you're steadfast on that target and you hit it, people are going to start recognizing it. Your name's going to start coming up in conversations that you didn't even know people were having about you.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened with this. She called me and said, hey, I had a funny thought about the LOL Comedy Honest. I was online this weekend, and that's very important. Uh-huh. The content you put out online represents your brand. You know, branding, ACA, branding, represents your brand and what you do when people are not checking for you on face-to-face, but they're checking for you online. So she went, she pulled up on my video, she went to my website, she went to see what I've done on Instagram, and she was like, what do you think about hosting the LOL Comedy on it? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And she's like, yeah, what do you think about it? You and Lunell. And I was like, Lunell? You know, I'm starting... Yeah, I was like, well, send me over a contract. We'll see. She hung the phone like, are you serious? I started screaming. But I didn't tell no one. I didn't tell my girl. I didn't tell none of my family, nothing. And so I actually got the contract in my hand and said, yeah, you're going to do it. So it was, man, it was a trip.
Yeah.
You know, it was a trip.
Now you know, you said something, another thing that's interesting with comedy and even entrepreneurs that are that individual, right? So
mm-hmm.
Your business really is you,
right?
Right. So now you invest a lot into you,
correct?
Right? Now, where'd you learn this from?
As far as investing in your own business,
mm-hmm.
Well,
a lot of people don't do it.
True.
So,
but I told you I graduated with an accounting degree from Hampton University, so I learned business.
Yeah,
I know business mind. I know how business works.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not investing in yourself, where's your money going? You know what I mean? You're buying new Jordans. That's cool. You look good on your feet. But what about your education, mm-hmm. about furthering yourself in this career? Mm-hmm. What about investing in – it could even be buying a DVD of your favorite comedian so you can see how comedy is really done. You know what I mean? Yeah. What about headshots? Because people need headshots to get into more work. Mm-hmm. What about taking acting classes? You know, these are the things that you need to do in the entertainment world. Not just a comedian, but just, you know, entertainment is a business as well. I have a business called Comedy with a Purpose, which I go around and I educate kids about, well, not just educate kids, but we did a tour. It's called the One Night Stand Comedy Tour. I think I told you about this. When we went around to CUNY schools and we basically partnered up with whoever the health person was on campus to talk to kids about practicing safe sex in college. Because, you know, a lot of kids are having sex in college, and a lot of schools don't want to address the fact that they're having sex in college. So they bring in somebody like me who can have a funny, educated conversation about it, break the ice, and then it would get the person from the infirmary to come up and say, hey, we got free condoms in, you know, B level 4 of, you know, whatever building they're in.
Building F.
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. So we did that. We was brought out to Milwaukee. That was years ago. That was my man, Vladimir Camagno. Damian Lemon, who has his own show right now on True TV. Andrew Schultz. A lot of people, man. All those people you see.
Oh, you dealt with Andrew Schultz?
Yeah, that's my dude. It's his birthday. I texted him yesterday, man. So, you know, that's my guy, man. And it's crazy because when how you say, oh, you dealt with Andrew Schultz? If you ask these guys, your favorite comedian knows who the hell I am.
Yeah, that's what's up.
But I'm not known in the quote-unquote black entertainment world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, who is Jamie Roberts? We heard of him, but we don't really know him like that.
Yeah.
So, but the things they've heard of me are good things. It's not like, oh, he's a dirtbag. Oh, you know, can't trust that guy. No, hire that guy. He's going to do a hell of a job hosting your show, and he's going to make sure everyone is tickled by the end of the night.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, man.
Man. You know, just to keep going with the investing part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because your web presence is on point. Your social media is on point. Your social media is on point. Even your business card's on point.
Oh, I forgot about the business
cards. Shout out to your business cards, right? So, you know.
Shout out to ACA.
Yeah, thank you. You know, so I think that it's important for people like, you know, people to invest in themselves because mm-hmm. you're your only brand.
Correct.
You know, so.
Correct. You're absolutely correct, man. And you represent you. You know what I mean? I always tell people, they say, you don't have a manager. I would love a manager. You know, I would love an acting manager or, you know, even an agent who can get me more work.
Yeah.
But no one's going to go as hard for me as I'm going to go as hard for me.
Facts.
Because they have other clients.
Yeah.
I don't have other clients. The only other client I have is myself. So, you know what I mean? Me, myself, and I. Probably my girl. I help her out a lot as well. You know what I mean? So there's a lot going on with that.
Yeah.
When you have agents and you have managers, they're not really focused on your well-being. They're only looking at your check.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. So sometimes you need to have somebody on your team mm-hmm. that is about sees your vision
mm-hmm.
and can help you align that vision and go for it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Because right. a lot of times, and that's hard. A lot of times, they're not a yes person.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
Sometimes man. I like what's his name. That took the train ride with you?
He took the train ride with me, too.
Going back that first day
you bombed. Jerron, yeah.
Jerron.
Yeah, he told me straight up, yo,
told you
bombed.
Straight up. Now, that I appreciate.
Right.
You know? So.
And it's the same thing with this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, you have to appreciate the vision that you had, right? You came to me with the idea, hey, this is what I want to do.
Yep.
If I was like, nah, man, that's not going to work, we wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here.
You know what I mean? But you were persistent. You were professional. You say, yo, this is what I want to do. I think we can get it going. I said, all right, so who are your guests? And he started naming off. I was like, all right, let's see how this plays out.
Yep.
Let's see how this pans out.
Yep.
It worked out well.
Man.
It's still working out well.
Yeah, it's still working out, man. It's growing every week. So thank you, Jamie.
No problem.
So any last tips, any like you want to give to the entrepreneurs out there, comedians?
Well, as far as comedians, you got to believe in yourself. You're not always going to be funny, mm-hmm. first and foremost. You're going to bomb. You know, that just happens with, you know, with whatever you're doing. Entrepreneurs, you have to invest in yourself. And a good key that I've learned is that you're not going to get rich off your friends and your family. Real talk. You're not going to be successful trying to get support from your friends and your family because they know who you are already. Mm-hmm. That's your circle. You got to go outside your circle, go outside your comfort zone in order to succeed. If you're not doing that, you're not pushing the envelope, you're going to be in the same box. You're going to be on the same corner selling the same nonsense everyone else was doing. You know what I mean? So you got to move outside your comfort zone. You got to be able to you got to be able to take criticism too. You know, as black folks, we don't like to be criticized. We don't like, you didn't like my picture? No, you know, we like immediate gratification. You know what I mean? But you got to be able to take the immediate criticism. Just like I did on the train ride home. Yo, fam, you were horrible. You see how he roasted you? Yeah, he roasted you. Yeah. But you got to be able to take that and swallow and say, "All right, you know what? Maybe you got a point. Let me see what I did wrong. What can I do better?" You got to look at yourself. If you're not looking at yourself in the mirror every day saying, how can I get better? You're just going to be the same lame dude, the same ordinary person that you were before. You know what I mean? You got to push yourself.
You got to push yourself.
If you're not doing that, you're not doing anything. You're not doing nothing, man, as they say.
Facts. So, man, thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So it's a lot of fun.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire. Hope you learned a lot of valuable tips from my man Jamie, Comedian Jamie. Check him out. What's your Instagram?
Comedian Jamie, Jamie. You catch me at jamieroberts.com. Everything social is Comedian Jamie Roberts.
Cool. So now you could tune in every Wednesday. Tell your friends. Share this episode. You can find us on the OG Podcast Network. Thank you to our producers, Tim and Jamie.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, and the ACA team. Thank you to Elijah today. So faithgrindinspire.com. God bless. Peace.